All right, let's see. What are we really doing? Oh, revolutionary. We're in this series on the Sermon on the Mount called Revolutionary. It talks about the upside-down life that Jesus offers and asks of his followers. And so we've been flowing through it for several weeks now. Today we come to a portion of the Sermon on the Mount that where Jesus actually gives some advice on two seemingly very random topics: investing and worrying. Okay? Investing and worrying. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Somehow, in my own life, I have done something that has triggered an avalanche of financial advice coming into my life. Okay? So I'm getting things in the mail, and I'm getting emails, and I'm getting those automatic voice calls on my phone, and all of them are offering me some form of financial advice. So something I've signed up for, or something I've bought, or something I've clicked on has just unleashed this avalanche of information. And I got to tell you, I was disappointed. I downloaded the one. It was called A 15-Minute Guide to Retirement. And I was really disappointed when I read it. I couldn't retire in 15 minutes. I thought that's what it was telling me. So conventional wisdom in our culture about investing is diversify. Diversify. Spread your resources. Spread your investments around. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Invest in a variety of things. That way, if something goes bad in one sector, you don't lose it all. Put your eggs in one basket. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus offers this revolutionary insight about investing. Notice where Jesus says we ought to invest. This is Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 19 today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do not store up treasure on earth. Instead, store up treasure in heaven. That's his basic advice. So don't invest, don't build up, don't amass treasure on earth. Instead, build up, amass, invest in what he calls treasure in heaven. And so the contrast here is between earth and heaven. Investing in earth and investing in heaven. And listen, this does involve, it does include how you invest your dollars. But he's talking about something even bigger. Because to store up treasure here, it means to focus on, to make your priority, to put at the center of your life. This passage ultimately is about choosing your priorities. And of course, that will impact your money, our money. But first, this is about directing the course of your life, the focus of your life, your time, your resources, your heart. Which is why the next verse says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And although by treasure he is talking about your money and your material possessions, he's also talking on an even deeper level. And whatever is the focus of your life, whatever's the focus of your mind, your time, your resources, that reveals your heart. And your heart is that which is most core, most essential, most central to you. And so you look where your treasure is, and that reveals where your heart is. Ironically, it works the other way around too. That where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, generally speaking. So when it comes to investing, Jesus wants us to think about this. What do you obsess over? What do you wake up at night thinking about? Where are you putting your treasure, your focus, your priority, your attention? And when that focus, when that priority becomes things like accumulating or having more or financial things, even our homes and other stuff, that's earthly treasure. And it can be small things that become our treasure, but they reveal so much. 3 weeks ago, I got obsessed with a new coffee maker. I know, right? I became obsessed with this little appliance that makes my coffee in the morning, and that's all it does. And here's how you know you're obsessed with things today, right? I was taking pictures of it and sending those to my friends. I know, it's ridiculous. But it shows how in that moment, something had my attention. And in that space, it became the focus, not just of my heart, but of my resources as well. That's what happens. We store up treasure on earth when we make wealth, or when we make material possessions or financial security or financial things our focus, our priority, our ambition. It's not valuable, Jesus said, because it's temporary, right? That's what that meant in those verses where it talks about, don't store up treasure where moths and vermin can destroy. They didn't use banks the way that we do. They would often hold their wealth in very tangible forms, like expensive clothing or fabrics, or in a more agrarian way of looking at things, grain that was accumulated. And those things, you could lose them to the moths, or you could lose them to the rats, right? In the same way, we'd say you can lose those things you've stored up to market fluctuations, to business decisions, to clients changing their minds, right? All of those kinds of things that represent our earthly treasure, they're subject to loss. And so Jesus says they're really not that valuable. He's not saying don't work. He's not saying don't run your business. He's not saying don't set something aside for the future. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't live for that. Don't prioritize that. Don't focus on it. Don't choose it over God. It's better, Jesus says, to store up treasure that isn't temporary or that isn't tied to this earth. That's what treasure in heaven means. It relates to God. It relates to our relationship with God, our life with God, and that kind of treasure lasts. So we store up treasure in heaven when we belong to God's kingdom, when we live by the priorities of God's kingdom, when we live the life that Jesus offers to us, like we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount, the righteousness that's beyond that of the Pharisees, because it's not about rules and regulations. It's about love for God and love for others. It's about loving our enemies and giving to those who ask and not calling people foolish and living in purity with them. And when we walk this way and live this way with God, the return on that investment is a quality of life that begins now and extends into the future, into eternal life. So, treasure in heaven isn't something that you buy, right? I want to be clear about that. Jesus isn't saying, instead of buying a new coffee maker, give those dollars to heaven, or give them to a cause, or give them to the church, and then when you do, there's a spiritual cash register that rings. That's not how it works. Okay? That's not how it works. Rather, it's when you turn your attention and your focus and your resources to the priorities of God's kingdom and to living that way, the reward is a life with God. Now, a life free of the pressures and burdens of materialism, a life that is full of the peace and power of God, a life that gets to see and take part in the purposes and things of God in this world, and this extends into eternity. This is Jesus' way of saying, that's a really good life. That's the life you should want. So Jesus says, don't diversify your priorities. Put all your eggs in one basket. Okay? This is Jesus on investing. Don't diversify. Choose. Choose God. And don't fool yourself into thinking that you can be sold out to God and to accumulating wealth, because you can't. This section ends with this stirring passage. This is verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Now listen, he didn't say, it's pretty hard to serve two masters. He didn't say, I don't advise you try to serve two masters. He says, you can't. You can't. Because you'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other. And here it comes. You cannot serve God and money. Isn't that remarkable? It challenges everything we spend so much of our times and lives trying to embody. We want both. Or we want it all. But Jesus says you cannot focus on, you cannot prioritize both. You can only have one master. And if you focus on earthly treasure, or if you focus on money and the accumulation of things, make no mistake, it will become your master. And this is true, by the way, both for the person who focuses on getting more and more so he can have more and more and he can fill up his house and his garage with treasure, and it's true of the one who refuses to spend and squeezes the life out of every penny. Both are slaves. Both serve money. You see, God too intends to be master. And when he is master, when he's your single-minded focus, heaven and life with God is your treasure. The life of God and the kingdom of God are yours. But to experience this life, which begins now, you have to be all in, wholehearted, devoted. So serve God, Jesus says, and not money, and experience the life of heaven. Experience the life that Jesus offers you. Okay. Whew. Now, maybe it makes sense to think that the next thing Jesus talks about is worry, right? Because the statement, you cannot serve God and money, that'll make you worry if you think about it long enough. I mean, it could make you worry about whether you've put your eggs in the right basket. Or if you're ready to take seriously the idea of taking your focus off of material things and putting it onto God, you might worry about how it'll all work out, right? Like how would my needs be met if I stopped prioritizing that? And so Jesus addresses this in the next verse, verse 25, when he says this, therefore, right, therefore, since you can't serve God and money, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So since you can't serve God and money, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Okay, so here's Jesus on worrying. Don't. And that sounds crazy because we're really good at worrying, right? I have a friend who says, hey, my spiritual gift is worry. Another said, worry must work. Most of the stuff I worry about never happens. And if there's one area we're especially prone to worry about, it's our money, our material needs, our stuff. And the intensity of our worrying can skyrocket when we stand right on the threshold of choosing not to focus on our finances and to instead focus on living for God. And who's going to provide for me, for my family, for my future? And forget about the extravagant things I want. If I take my attention off my money and I put it on God, how will I eat? Pay the rent. So how could we ever move away from worrying about that? Well, the first key comes right at the end of verse 25 that we saw. I want you to see this little statement in the last sentence. Is not life more? This is key to understanding Jesus' thinking about your life and your focus on finances. When he starts by saying, isn't your life more? More. More than simply the list of things you accumulate. Isn't there more to life than the things we seek and desire and try to accumulate? And the answer Jesus is expecting is, yes, it's worth more. Jesus doesn't stop there. He really does move on to something eminently more practical. He doesn't really just say, don't worry. He wants you to replace worry with something. Don't worry, do this instead. Notice what else he wants you to do. Verse 26, look at the birds. That's what he wants you to do. Look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Look at the birds, Jesus says. Don't worry. Look at the birds. And essentially what he means is they don't go to half the effort that you do. They don't have the economic system and engines and processes that you do. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And we hear that and we go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. The trees feed the birds, right? We know the insects feed the birds, the seeds feed the birds. And that's why Jesus says, listen, you need to understand there's something important about your worldview as a Christian, and it is this. Yeah, the birds eat the seeds, but God is the provider. God is the creator. God is the sustainer of it all. It comes from God. God is the one who provides. He can feed you. He feeds the birds. He's capable. So what Jesus wants us to replace worry with is trust. Trust in God. trust that he will feed you because he's capable. When you start talking about trusting God, you say, well, what's the grounds on which I can trust God? First of all, he's capable. If he can feed the birds, he can feed you. But the other is how much he cares about you. That's what that last sentence means. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now listen, God values the birds. God loves his creation and his creatures. In fact, the mission of God is to restore not just people, but all of creation to God's perfect plan. But as much as he loves his creatures and creation, the Bible teaches us that he loves you even more, if you can believe that. So can you trust God to meet your practical material needs? Jesus says, yeah, you can trust him because you know he's capable and you know he cares so much about you. Are you capable of meeting all your needs? He says this, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, in fact, we know the opposite's true, right? Worrying actually subtracts hours from our lives. But that's Jesus' point. You can't do anything about it. Worry, the providential care and provision from you, it's outside your span of control. It's something that God controls. So trust God. Trust God. And then he tells this other story that has the same point. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Don't trust, Jesus says, or don't worry, trust God. And you see how trust in this passage is the opposite of worry. Those who worry about whether they'll have what they need from God, those who worry about whether God cares for them, those who worry about whether God will provide for them, he describes them in this passage as you of little faith, which is Jesus' way of saying basically you have no faith at all. And that's where it comes to the heart of the matter. But Jesus wants to reckon with us with the fact, that when we worry, especially when we worry about material things, we don't have faith. So, what he's inviting you to is this life, this quality of life with God that's built on trust. Instead of worry, trust. Trust God. Trust that God is good. Trust that he cares. Trust that he's capable. Look back on the history of your life. Note the many ways that God has come through and been there and provided for you. Note the way that he's come through in the life of your church or in the life of your family, and he's been there, and he's met you, and he's provided. And let that turn into trust. Because the pagans, now in the New Testament, the pagans are the people who don't believe in God. They live outside of God. They don't look to God. They don't care about God. And because of that, the pagans, it says, run after all these things. They strive over, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And how much am I going to have? And where's it all going to come from? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So he's capable, he cares, and he knows what you need. And so the basic moment of faith in life comes when we decide to trust God, to trust him with things as practical as where we're going to get our next meal from, how we're going to make it, what's going to happen with my effort and my work and my business and all of the things that I'm doing. Jesus' answer is you trust God. And then this frees you, Here's where it's going to come full circle. Don't lay up treasure in heaven. Don't focus on that or focus on treasure on earth. Focus on treasure in heaven. Okay? So don't worry. Don't worry about whether you'll have enough because God says he'll provide. And then that frees you. That opens you up for this last verse. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. You see, when you know you don't have to worry, when you trust God even for the basic needs of your life, it frees you to seek God, to seek God's kingdom, meaning the way of God in the world, the work and purpose that God has, God's reign in your life and in the lives of your neighbors and in your community, the way God wants to invite people to redemption and restoration. You can seek that first. You can seek his righteousness. You can seek the righteousness that's beyond religion and has to do with people loving and following and living for God. Seek that. Because you've given up your focus on accumulating. You've trusted God instead of worrying. And now your life is free to follow him. You're free to make it your priority and your focus and your concern. And then watch God provide. Watch him provide for all your needs. And he finishes with this. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He's not promising you a life without trouble, but he's promising you a life of God's provision and trust. We're going to pray together this morning, and let me just ask you to come before the Lord and lift your hearts to him. And as we pray, I would like you to consider something. Lord, this is strong medicine for us because we do worry and we do fret. And today we come to trust. So here are our hearts. Speak to us even in the still small way as we pray. And today, if you're here, I want you to consider perhaps you do need to put your eggs in a different basket. Maybe you know you've made your life's focus material things or other things that you're pursuing, and you know it's time to put your eggs in God's basket, to trust God. Or maybe you're here today and you worry, and it's hard to envision a life without worry. And so today I want to encourage you to take one worry before God. One thing that, maybe it's the thing that woke you up last night, the thing that's occupying your mind, and offer it to God and tell him you'll trust him. Or finally today, maybe the word to you is to seek his kingdom. Maybe you've been holding back. Maybe because of your fear, your worry, there's something you know God would have you do. There's a person that he would have you talk to. There's a relationship he would have you reconcile. There's a neighbor who needs your presence. There's someone who needs a word from God. And today you need to trust God enough to feel free to seek his kingdom. And so if that situation comes to mind, will you offer it also to the Lord today? So God, today we shift our priorities to your heavenly kingdom and treasure away from our own. We exchange our worry for faith. And we seek to know you and to make you known in every way that we can. You are a good, good Father. and we are loved by you. And we revel in that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.